Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget J. Paul Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next. A dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
If we're going to have some real healing, we've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
And good morning. Welcome to What's Next. And one of those concerns that we have here in Western New York is, of course, the concerns over the future of our youths. And with us to talk a little bit more about that today, from Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Erie Niagara and Southern Cheer, we have Emily Mahoney, the CEO. Emily, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And also Brittany Washington, Director of Programs. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us as well.
All right. Well, let's start with the basic general question. I've heard about Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I can remember hearing about them when I was a kid. How do I get a Big Brother and Big Sister? Well, I had plenty of them in my household, actually. But the point of it is, you know, it always sounded like such a this kind of intriguing program for youths to expand their horizons. But why don't you get into a little of the specifics of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So our core mission is to create and support one-to-one mentoring relationships that ignite the power and promise of youth.
Okay.
So, you know, what does that mean? It means that we're adding people to children's lives so that they can reach their full potential, right? We're finding caring individuals from the community to raise their hand, spend some time with the child to give them guidance, support, help them on the good days, the bad days, and, you know, some of the in-between days. And so locally, we serve Erie, Niagara, and the Southern Tier, have an Olean office. And last year, we served about 350 children in one-to-one mentoring relationships, and then another about 150 in episodic mentoring experiences.
Episodic mentoring experiences?
Yep. So episodic mentoring experiences are not one-to-one experiences.
Okay.
So this is where our corporate partners come into play. We have partnerships with local fraternities. So people can spend time with youth and help us expose them to different life experiences. And, you know, we pick kids off of our wait list to interact and get to interact with them, you know, in different ways to just have some more experience for us to engage the kids that are waiting for that one-to-one experience. So it's a really cool model. It's just ways for us to get to see kids differently, for them to have different experiences. We had an event last year, I believe, with like NFTA. So they allowed our kids to come in. We were able to, you know, explore their workspace, spend some time with them. We have a couple different partners. This year we went to Ingram Micro, took our kids to Kelkenberg Farm. So they just have, you know, volunteers that are work staff members who work for them, who volunteer their time to hang out with some of our kids, too.
Okay.
So that's what that episodic
now
mentoring looks like.
The reason, or one of the main reasons why Lorenzo Rodriguez reached out to us is the idea that, you know, you're short on, especially when it comes to mentors, male mentors, right?
Yes.
So let's take a look at just the whole process here. I think what you told me before we went on there, there's 120 kids right now on a waiting list?
Yes.
Okay, so and even getting on that list in itself is a whole process, right? Why don't we go through that a little bit?
Correct. So families are our main resource of referral. They are looking for something for their child. Usually there's some social connection maybe that they need, some additional support that the family might need, and the kid could use some individualized support and attention. Referral sources also can come from school providers, from community agencies. So anyone who's working with the child who says, hey, this child could use a big brother or a big sister, they usually reach out to us. From that point, we do an application, and then we do an interview with the family.
Mm.
So that is the biggest part. We do an interview with the child and the family just to see who they are, get to know them, what are their needs, where they live, you know, what their dynamic is as a family. And then they, from that point, if we accept them and that everything goes well, they sit on our wait list.
Okay.
And we wait to find a volunteer because we're doing the same thing with a volunteer on the other side. So we're getting to know them, interviewing them, we do background checks and screenings on them to make sure that they're safe to be with the child. And so from that process, now we are matching them to make sure that they're a good fit, that everyone's comfortable with each other. So that is just a process in itself. Usually it does go pretty fast if we have the people in the right. pool, but the kids are not a problem to have, right? People, like, youth need mentors. Like, one out of three children in America don't have a safe and caring adult to be with them in that way, or a positive role model in their life. So all kids could use a mentor in some
sure.
way.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're waiting sometimes when after we go through the process.
Mm-hmm. There's probably a lot of privacy issues. We're going to get into specifics mm-hmm. when it comes to the kids, but can we talk about, you had a nice broad description there that, you know, everybody could use a mentor. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. Even at our advanced age, we could use that.
Yeah.
But that being stated, you know, there must be certain types of characteristics that we see with these kids.
Absolutely. All of our kids are facing adversity in their lives, right? And that shows in different ways. By and large, the majority of our children are living with a single parent or a relative or someone that isn't their biological parent. Mm-hmm. And so often when you think of those dynamics, it's nice to have someone else to help support the child along the way. About 35% of our kids have a diagnosed disability, whether that's behavioral or mental health diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Some of them have, you know, come to us looking for some social skills and getting out there. You know, I think when we think of the pandemic, I think about how much it affected adults. Now,
sure.
now think about that being a child that went through all of that. And, you know, so experiences out and about, connecting with people is so useful right now and is great because that is really the heart of our mission and what we look to do for them.
So that explains a lot about the kids. What about the other side then? The mentor, I guess probably one very similar. You're probably open to all possibilities, right?
Yes. When you think about, we have all types of kids, so we need all types of volunteers to work with them. We need males. That's our biggest ask right now, is a lot of the males. About 60% of the wait list right now is male.
Okay.
So they need mentors more than ever. We also need people who identify as diverse backgrounds, right? So people who are BIPOC or of color, people who identify as LGBTQ+, people who have different abilities or have diagnosis themselves and have navigated that plane of life, who can seed into, you know, someone else. If you're just a adult who just would like to lend your time, there's no perfect mentor. There's no like rule book as to like what a mentor is, or you don't have to be this super buttoned up or particular type of person. Again, as long as you're safe and you feel like you can add and build a friendship, that's really what we're looking for, because kids just need the support. So you name the background, the lifestyle, the area of, you know, Erie, Niagara, and the Southern Tier they live in, there's a kid there that you probably can identify with. So we need, you know, anybody who has something to lend.
Yeah. I think internally, we'd like to talk a lot about, like, mentor can be sort of an intimidating word,
sure.
right? Like, right. I think about my life and, like, everything going on. And, you know, we're all quirky. We all have made mistakes. And the truth of the matter is, if you've made mistakes and overcome them, they're actually more beneficial for our the children we work with, right? To be able to talk about that and relate. And your quirks make you, a better friend and more relatable. And so I know over the years, there's been different beliefs about who we're looking for as a mentor, like you have to have a certain level of education and things of that nature. But to Brittany's point, we just need people that care about our community, want to help a child, and that have the time to spend and some knowledge to pass along.
Age, not a factor.
Not a factor. You have to be 18
okay.
to do our community-based program. That's just our policy. But we have mentors. I think one of our oldest mentors is 81,
oh my.
82 years old.
Okay.
And she's great. She loves her little. They've been together for like 5 years. So, you know, if you have the ability and you have some time, again, it's there's no limit to it. Again, we do individually, you know, speak to each person, assess each person, make sure that their reasoning is the right reason to be with the youth. But other than that, we want diverse people to be with our diverse pool of littles. Mm-hmm.
What about when it comes to the mentor again? The question I guess that somebody would be asking is, what's my time commitment here? Mm-hmm. How often, how periodic am I expected to go places, take places? And what are the expectations there?
It's really not as much of a time commitment as you would assume. So we ask our volunteers in the community-based mentoring program to see their little 2 to 3 times a month for a few hours each time. And I think sometimes people say, well, that does seem like a lot of time, but not when you start to think about the things you're already doing that your little would love to come along with, okay. Right? So you're going grocery shopping. Pick up your little and maybe as you're grocery shopping, make it a challenge to find what's on your list. Talk about budgeting. Talk about healthy eating, mm-hmm. Right? There's opportunities and things that you're doing already. Taking your dog for a walk. Our kids are looking to get out and spend some time with people. And so I think when you sort of put in that perspective, like most of us do have more than enough time to commit to someone. And then thinking about the joy that they're going to bring to your life, right? They're going to keep you hip, even though I don't think it's hip to say hip. You know, you're great gaining a friendship, and they're going to bring so much sort of fun to your life, and you get to do some things you might not otherwise do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what about the kids, though? What do they expect? That's, you know, again, do I really want to go grocery shopping? I'm a 13-year-old kid.
I think it depends on the child, right? Okay. Like each kid is different. And we do a good job of trying to explain to the volunteer. We do a good job of finding out what the volunteer wants from the experience,
right.
And what they have time for. And then talking to the family and asking them that same question, right? Because there's kids who maybe they're involved in a lot of activities. So they may have some limited time, but the time that they want outside of those things are, I do just want to hang out and play a game where I've never played a board game. Like nowadays, that is a thing, right? Like a kid nowadays yes. could never have played a board game. So they want some of those like simple experiences. I want to take a walk. I like going to the park. I like riding my bike. Like there are kids who like that is their experience. There are kids who want, you know, big experiences too, right? I've never been to a football game. I've never, or I really like going to like Fun City or some of these, you know, trampoline parks and things like that. And so that is really up to the little and the child to decide together what they want to do. I always say like it's nice to have a mixture, right? Like it's nice to have like something you do together. We have like the match that I said is the 82-year-old. They quilt a lot, right?
Quilt.
That's something that they do regularly together. But it's nice sometimes that they do things outside of that.
Sure.
So you kind of find your own groove together as to what you want. We also provide experiences too. So there's different, you know, donors that give us tickets to events or curate events. We create events on our own too. Like we have a holiday celebration this month and we'll have like a karaoke party with our bigs and littles. So there's things that you'll be able to do, you know, that we will provide for our bigs and littles to participate in too. But they kind of find their own way of doing things. So it depends on the age. It depends on the kids' interests. Like I said, the kids are so diverse. You name it, they're into it, whether it's like Dungeons and Dragons and some of the things that they play.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, like, or, you know, video games, like, They do a variety of things. Like a little the other day told me she likes to needlepoint. I didn't even know that was something that people were still teaching. I don't know how to needlepoint. That's a different story. But I grew up with older people. But, you know, but that is something that, you know, you can, there's kids who do have different interests and there's adults who have, you know, even wider interests too.
Well, I provide this ask again before we finish the program, but it's worth doing it right now. The best way for someone who's interested in becoming a mentor, what do they do right now?
You can go to biggertogether.org. That's our website.
Okay.
And you can actually learn more about our different programs and opportunities, and you can apply directly through that site. Mm-hmm. And then a member of our staff member reaches out and has a conversation with you and gets you started in the enrollment process. And to Brittany's earlier point, the first step is to get to know you a little bit.
Right. And of course, we are talking this morning with Emily Mahoney, the CEO, and Brittany Washington, the Director of Programs for Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Erie, Niagara, and the Southern Tier. interesting also at the website when I did visit it beforehand, and right there, right at the top, your commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Let's just talk about that. And, you know, that's something that I guess has become, you know, something a little more familiar at a lot of different places over the recent years. Also, it's been something that's been pushed back in other avenues and sectors as well. But let's just talk about it from your organization's standpoint, you know, what that means to you and why, you know, what you're trying to say, I guess, when you develop that type of a statement.
Absolutely. So when you think about our mission, right, at the heart of it is people and relationships. And so it's very important to us that we honor and we support people from all different backgrounds, cultures, experiences. And so, you know, we have a task force internally and some community members that sit on a task force to help us with that. But we're committed to increasing representation across groups, DEI groups, and investing in our mission. What we know is our littles, you know, they bring so much different aspects to our program, and our staff does too. And so we need to find the volunteers to also engage in that way and help us move forward the aspects of, you know, celebrating diversity and making sure that truly we're supporting people where they are or where they're from. And so we work to try to connect with all different types of affinity groups and things of that nature to get more people involved so that we can support the diverse youth and families that we serve.
Okay, understandable. I just thought it'd be an interesting way to kind of continue this conversation along. And also, I'm interested in the types of relationships you've seen. You touched on a couple already here. Brittany, you know, needlepoint, quilting, you know, two things I probably would never have thought of. But it'd be interesting, I think, to talk the lengths of these relationships and where they go through time. I think I've seen commercials or PSAs throughout the years that talk of, you know, maybe baseball players talking about their mentors in Big Brothers, maybe when they were younger. Let's get into some of those stories.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of the job is to see how like different the relationships are, how much the little impacts the big's life is amazing to me, because I think we think a lot that the kid is going to get the bulk of what this relation, the benefit of this relationship in. And it goes both ways. They both get a lot out of it. And so we asked for a commitment of a year from a volunteer to try and commit to a year to their little. So 12 months, not a lot of time if you feel we're at the end of the year now and this flew by super fast. But then our average match length is actually 7 years. So the majority of our matches are staying, or the average of our matches
the
are
average,
staying.
Average, again,
seven.
So there are some at one and some far beyond seven.
Yes,
yeah.
But 7 years is a long time to be a part of a child's life. And then they stay together, part of each other's lives well after that. Emily and I always joke, we can be at a meeting, you know, a business meeting, and someone will say, oh my gosh, you guys are from Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I've had a little, I still talk to my little, I was in her wedding. Like, they have these great experiences with each other, and I think it's really beautiful to see, you know, how you can just, again, relationship can be so impactful in so many different ways. We have two bigs of the years this year, and both of them were matched with their littles for 7 years. We celebrated them at our annual gala. They have really cool relationships too. They do a lot of fun things together. They explore nature. They become family. Mm-hmm. So a lot of one of our bigs, Candace, and her little Avi, her mom, Avi's mom, just graduated with her master's, and like Candace was there to support that too, right? Oh. So it becomes more than just sometimes just the little is impacted, but they all become family and become a part of each other's lives too. We have littles who they do the same thing all the time, right? We have one match, Alex and Matthew, and they've been watching the stadium progress. So they take pictures as we build the new stadium every time they go to a game, right? So that's something that, you know, it's a small thing, but it's something to track. It's something to look forward to every time with your little. I don't know if you have other
stories. So like a really local cool success story, I feel like, is our board president is a former little, a former big, and she's current board president.
Oh, wow.
First woman to lead the board and the first person of color to lead the board. And so she tells the story, and, you know, obviously she tells a story much better than I could. But at 7 years old, she met her big sister through our program locally, and it was the first time she's ever been to a college setting, and that was the time she decided I can go here. People like me go to to this location. And she went on to get her PhD, and she's the commissioner of jurors in Erie County, right?
Wow.
So that's a very local specific success story. To Brittany's point, everywhere we go, you mention where you're from, and oh, my child was in it. I was a big. Mm-hmm. More recently, we have quite a celebrity little brother in our mix on the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Ray Davis was a little brother in one of our affiliates in the Bay Area, and has shared his journey, which is an amazing story, and he's an amazing human being. And his big brother was actually in town this past weekend, and got to celebrate my cause, my cleats game with him.
Yeah, so that was on just this past Sunday, the San Francisco night game, huh?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ray Davis, tell me more about Ray Davis. We all like to hear the stories about.
He's great. Yeah. Some of our bigs and littles got to meet him, and Emily and I got to meet him last month. That was November. I'm like, it's November. we got to meet him last month, and he was just so personable. Like, so it was, our kids could see themselves in him. He was talking to them, interacting, asking them what they had going on, and not in that way that sometimes you see when you have these meet and greets that people are just fleetingly trying to just say, hey, how you doing? He was really interested. So he's really passionate about our cause, and he talked a lot about how his big really impacted his life, and that, you know, changed the trajectory of his life and what he had going on. So I think that the bigs and the littles being able to experience that together with him. And he also shared that he was in foster care. That's part of the story.
Oh, he was in foster care. Okay.
He was in foster care. So some of that is, you know, our littles have that same background too. So he's been a great advocate for our program. We've gotten a couple times to meet him. Again, we were at My Cause, My Cleats too. So it's been great getting to know him. He's been a good champion for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, but also, again, really personable guy, really passionate about getting to know the kids, and has afforded them the Bills have afforded them some really nice experiences on Big Brothers, Big Sisters behalf.
What was it? What are the kids must have been through the roof about that?
Buffalo Bills game,
a Buffalo Bills player talking to them.
We got to tour the stadium. They got to go on the field. Wow. They got to go into the locker room. So, yeah, they had a ball. They all had, like, glasses, and they got gear. So, yeah, they had a ball. Like, they loved it. And that those are, like, life-changing things, right? They'll remember that. How often, like, even myself, that was the first time I had ever been on the field. Mm-hmm. And then you feel so small out there, right? Like, so, like, I can imagine as a kid having that experience. So, yeah, it's awesome. Like, there's something. And then now that's something that little and that big also have together.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think what sticks in my head is he asked if anyone had been to a Bills game during that first interaction. Mm-hmm. And three little said, no, I've never had an opportunity. Mm-hmm. So when My Cause, My Cleats came up, it was very specific. I want to invite the three littles that have never been to a game to come to this game, which I think shows like how committed he is to really trying to influence and support our youth.
And remembering that too, right?
And when he came on the field, he's like, hey guys, good to see you again, right? It was like very much like they're old buddies, which again, just reinforces our community cares about you. There's people that want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. There's people that have succeeded that have been in your shoes. Yeah. And so we're very proud of that partnership. And the kids were, you know, they're football players. You know, one was a running back that had scored 21 touchdowns on his team. Yeah. So it was very cool to hear them talk.
He just had his playoff game. Yeah. So it was nice for him. It was like full circle for him. But I think one of the biggest things too is like when we talk about that episodic mentoring or those experiences. Those littles were with their bigs, right? But those are episodic experiences that we're exposing them to something different, right? For a kid who's a running back and he's doing really well, he went to playoffs to be on a field with a NFL player, right? How much closer are his dreams to him now than they were before? And so those are the things that, to me, again, mentoring is so much more powerful than I think people. Again, when you think about the small time commitment, or again, taking a couple hours, a kid who may never have baked a cookie or learned a life skill of like shopping at a grocery store with the money in their hand, right? You could really plant a seed in a kid that can be really monumental, but it's really not a lot for you because you've been doing it so long, or, you know, it was just something that you, like again, Emily said, you were already going to do this anyways. So I think it's profound. And again, Ray Davis has been great.
It's so encouraging to hear that story about him. And you mentioned that he was in foster care. Did he, I guess, so his big was at the game as well.
Yes.
So what was that, and what was that connection like? Could you tell just from observing?
So I got to see them on the field briefly together.
Okay. Right.
So it was a little, but what I can say is I got to meet his big brother, Patrick, and his wife. And Patrick and his wife have two young boys. And so what I know is that Ray was at his wedding.
Oh,
the boys consider Ray an uncle, right? So like there's a very close dynamic. And what was actually really cool was Patrick sat with our bigs and littles in the stand. And while I wasn't in the same area, I got tons of pictures and they were celebrating together. And he was really quick to interact with our bigs and littles. And so we're local 501c3, right? We're a local nonprofit. But I think something cool about the Big Brother, Big Sister network is we are across the country, right? And so we have our impact and sort of our story and, you know, the difference we make in our communities at the most basic community building level is across the country. And so we saw that with Patrick and our littles, and we've had other opportunities to do that too.
Yeah.
We are talking this morning with two members of Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Erie, Niagara, and the Southern Tier. Emily Mahoney with us, the CEO, Brittany Washington, Director of Programs. We're going to take a time out on What's Next and be back with more. This is What's Next on WBFO.
The WBFO Disabilities Beat brings you powerful stories from members of the disability community. Each week, hear their perspectives on barriers our community faces and the steps we must take to make Western New York more equitable. Listen Wednesdays during Morning Edition and All Things Considered, or check out the transcripts, plain language descriptions, and audio for every episode at wbfo.org/disabilities. Because, as the disability community says, there should be nothing done about us without us.
Our mission at Buffalo Toronto Public Media is to serve our local community. And on WBFO, we do that by keeping you informed and connected to your community, whether it's by hearing from a local Black poet about what it was like to move from the inner city to the suburbs on What's Next.
So that emotional change with that culture change combined let me realize that basketball and being physical wasn't enough. I needed a way to figure out my emotions. So the first poem I wrote in the cafetorium was of Sweet Home Middle School was Outcast.
Or it's exploring the East Side Garden Walk.
It's wonderful that we're seeing engagement in beautification and sharing gardens, because we believe that we can build more vibrant communities by sharing our gardens, by sharing our stories, and by building real connections between people. We came through as neighbors and cleaned the space out and began plot by plot putting plants in.
This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And welcome back to What's Next, talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Erie, Niagara, and the Southern Tier. With us, Brittany Washington, their Director of Programs, Emily Mahoney, the CEO. When we went to break, you said, you know, boy, we could talk more about specific outcomes. And I'm like, all about that. Let's get into that. Let's talk about that, because I think that's at the heart of this, isn't it? I mean, we can gloss over it and be broad about it, but I think when you get into the specific stories, I think we have some really interesting tales to tell here. So let's share. Who wants to start?
I guess I'll start. I brought it up.
You know,
from an overall perspective, you know, mentoring is not just like a nice thing to do for the child, right? So we are evidence-based. We have, you know, outcomes. We have surveys that we implement to show what the child's achieving. And, you know, at the end of last school year, 100% of our littles were advanced to the next grade level. Our littles are two times more likely than their peers to pursue post-secondary education. They have a better sense of belonging, a better sense of the future. They're better able to self-regulate their emotions. They're able to identify more people that care
self-regulate
about them.
Their emotions? Well,
you know, some of the littles that maybe have some anger issues or anxiety issues, they show increases in being able to behaviorally sort of modify to handle that.
Developing different coping skills, mm-hmm. to learn, you know, to to be aware of what's happening with themselves and then be able to implement something to either calm themselves down, have a conversation, regulate, which, as we know, adults can struggle with that too.
Right.
So this is, that's a really big part of it. 92% of our littles go to college after graduate from high school and then go to college. So that's a big success rate too.
An astounding figure, 92%. I'm interested though, when it comes back to the emotions part of it. So how do you see that working? How does it go? What do you see that dynamic between the big and little that makes that all possible? I'm kind of curious to find out a little bit more about that.
I won't say, sometimes it is the big themselves, modeling or giving some tips as to how this little, but really that conversation, that sense of belonging, right? When you feel grounded in where you are and what your community can offer you, you also feel accountable for yourself and then how you interact back with that community. So that sense of belonging then allows the little to start to see themselves differently, to start to build confidence in how they're going to progress, right? And then they have that support system now where they can communicate with themselves, their teachers, their parents in a different way than maybe they were doing previously, right? So a little match for 7 years, for 7 years I've had confidence. For 7 years I've had someone, having faith and believing in me. I've had someone, we have match support and we have case managers that are assigned to each match. So there's also a person internally on our side helping both sides navigate the relationship with each other, having different experiences. So holistically creating that, they have that one-to-one relationship where we're kind of creating like a one-to-one plus village around them.
Okay.
That makes them feel secure. And so now they can navigate difficult situations differently than they did before. So instead of I'm upset and I'm going to have a behavior that maybe not be favorable to the situation, I can now think, internalize, or talk to someone to now do something different. So we get that evidence from, like Emily said, we do surveys, we do match support. So what we call match support is just conversation. We're talking to everyone involved. How has school been lately? Have you seen growth and change in your child or in your little? And so those are things, I really can, see that, they said that they were some, some drama in school before, and now they have a lot of friends and they're able to, talk to people differently. The little themselves, we do it with them too. So we talk to them about what their experience is and they share those things with us. So that's kind of how we gather that information.
And as a result of that, our littles, often littles come to us and they have some discipline referrals in the school setting. We see a decrease once they've been with their mentor 1 year, and then each year after that, a decrease in the discipline referrals. They show up to school more often. Their truancy goes down. Mm-hmm. So there's real solid impact. It's not just, the good stories, although we love the good stories. There's real solid data and impact.
That's really enlightening to hear that it can be that profound.
Absolutely.
I think that's and back to it, it's a relatively simple ask for a mentor to do a couple of hours basically a month.
For sure. But, I think back over my life and there's been some really key people that were not necessarily I'm even still in contact with that have helped me get where I am today.
Okay.
And maybe change things along the way, right? Maybe it's a teacher that saw the more quiet, really good student, but a quiet student, and sort of encouraged
you
to get
into... You were a quiet student?
Yeah.
How about that? That's changed,
I don't give that vibe, huh? that encouraged you to take a leadership role by establishing a club or something like that.
Right.
There's people, I think we all can look back, and even maybe rarely today, you might have someone that's making a really big impact in your life just by showing up, listening, and giving guidance. And that's what our bigs are doing for our kids.
Yeah, well, Brittany, you even shared before we went on the air that, You were a product of certain mentoring relationships.
Yeah, I have my mentor, I attribute to her, so if anybody knows her, Joanna Johnson. She's a mover and a shaker in the community. She works for United Way right now. She was I just loved seeing her, right? Mm. She was a part of so many kids' lives. She handled business, right? She gave so freely of herself to other people, to the community, to her family. And I had a great family growing up, and I had a lot of people who showed me some of those same qualities. But at seeing her as a young woman who's only 4 or 5 years older than me do some of the things that I thought were valuable, I saw myself in what I wanted to be, right? And so now I want to be closer to you. And she never hesitates to show me the ropes to this day. And I've met her as a teenager. So those are things that, you know, that's something so little. Like, again, so there were a lot of things that she was already doing. Hey, I'm already going to this community event. You can come.
Oh, wow.
Or she got acknowledged for an award. Can you come to me with my ceremony? So there's still moments now where she's still mentoring me, holding my hand and showing me things. If I have questions, there's days at work where I'm like, I don't know how to fix this, or I need direction. And she can say, oh, I've done that before, or, you know, maybe you should do this, or come over, let's talk about this. So those are things that are so impactful for us. Like you say, even in our older age, you need, it's nice to have someone for whatever you need, right? Whether it's a conversation, whether it's a meal, whether it's just to take your mind off of it for a minute. And essentially that's friendship, right? Mentorship sometimes, like in our way that we're talking about for our bigs and our littles, is someone who's older than you impacting your life. But there's so many ways that we do that for people, and we need community. I think that's the biggest thing, is that we need a community around us. And kids nowadays, especially post-pandemic, you know, school situation, like we're in a different world than we've ever been, and there's so many influences that they can go so many different ways. It's nice for them to have that grounding in someone near them, even if it's just to model. And they may never, like, there's people that I talk to, even myself, like you say, like someone planted a seed when you were like 7 and you didn't know that it was even there until you're 28 or 40, and now it's impactful to you. Like, that matters. Like, we need those little interactions with each other.
So it almost sounds like you saw a role model of sorts. Somebody who you saw, like, wow, she's not that much different than me, and she's doing all these things.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, culturally, like, representation is important too, in whatever way that matters to you. But yeah, to see a role model, to have some inspiration, like Emily said with Christine, to know, like, oh, I can do this. Like, this is not something that's far from achievement. I think is phenomenal. Like, that can, like, you literally just took a barrier away that sometimes kids have. And sometimes it's not even a real barrier. It's a barrier in your mind. I don't think that I grew up in poverty, so I don't have access to these things. No one maybe said that to you, but that's just how you feel. And so to see someone who maybe was raised like you or in the same neighborhood as you, and then now they are here in this place that you feel like is so far to arrive to, this is now a clear path that wasn't a clear path before.
And we were talking about the mentor, and I know you do background searches, of course, or background checks, of course, on them at the same time. But I'm wondering also if for a mentor, if you're talked to mentors, or I'm not using a lot, bigs, bigs who thought there was an obstacle for them, that, well, I'm not. Like you said, your mentor, Brittany, you know, I'm not in that type of a space. I'm not that type of person. I'm just a guy who, you know, does this for a living. I mean, what about that? Well, let's reach into that person a little bit and try to break down what might be their reasons for not wanting to do this.
Absolutely. And I'd say that's probably like the number one thing we hear when we're out. We're trying to be out in the community as much as possible. Like, people have never even considered it. And so I think to what you just spoke about, it's like, first it's your attitude and your belief, then it's your behavior, and then it's your outcome, right? Mm-hmm. And so the power of having the conversation, I always, when I'm out in the public, say, have you ever thought about being a big, right? Like, that's my first question, because I think sometimes people don't feel like we're asking them, right? Because there are preconceived notions. And, you know, Big Brothers Big Sisters nationally has been around since 1901, right? Okay. So there's a long history, and there's probably different dynamics, and we're very much, I think, in a different place than they would have been back then. So it is those connections and the power of asking or encouraging someone to learn more and have a conversation. So whenever I have an opportunity to, it's like, call us. Like, you're not committing to being a big, but call us and start to talk about what you're hesitant about. And let's see if we can sort of talk that through and see, you know, I think a big piece, and you touched on this, but everyone that's assigned or in our program is assigned to a staff member that they're working with on a regular basis. So that means you don't need every, you know, an 11-year-old asks you a question.
So you're giving suggestions.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. You know, an 11-year-old asks you a question. You're like, I don't know. You know, I work in a bank. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a social worker. How do I handle this situation? You have someone in the Big Brother, Big Sister team that can help walk you through that, that can help touch base with the parent and the child and make sure everything's going okay. Yeah. And so we're trying to build sort of a big brother, big sister network family. That's how we sort of approach things because we're all in this together. And so some of those initial hesitations, I think, first and foremost, is time and availability.
Yeah.
But then the ability is not the issue that you think it is, I would say to volunteers.
Okay.
Because you have support.
Yeah. I think we do orientation monthly with our bigs. And so when bigs come, one of the questions we ask them is like, why did you get involved? And most of the time it's, you know, well, I wanted someone who I didn't have, or I was fortunate enough to have someone and I would like to give that back. I mean, actually, the statistic is like, what, 91% of those who are mentored will become a mentor.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, is profound. And that is usually where some of that experience comes from. And again, we all kind of had those natural experiences with people who have mentored us. But yeah, the bigs are always uncertain. Like we interview them and we and one of the questions is, you know, is there anything you're nervous about or you feel that, you know, could be a barrier or that you would need support on? And that to me is where they kind of open up because they're like, oh, I'm nervous about everything. Like, I don't, you know, I don't know if they'll like me. I don't know if I'll do a good job. And that is that moment where we can kind of provide reassurance. Again, Emily says, like, we have great case managers. They'll show up. They'll go on an outing with you. They'll, like, they kind of go above and beyond to make sure that our bigs feel equipped and that they have someone that they can talk to. We also say, like, if you have hesitations, like, say, come to an event that we have. We have big ambassadors, or we have an ambassadors board, but some of them are bigs in the program or have been, or are alumni bigs that can also just say, hey, this is what this was like for me. So if the question is there, or if you're like, I'm kind of thinking about it, it's like Emily said, just give us a call or just reach out to talk to us, because we can kind of sometimes bridge that gap. At least to the, you know, you in your head thinking about what it will be like to actually seeing what the experience is like.
And then I think another piece is understanding how our kids and families are coming to us. So we're never a mandated program, right? We're not getting referred through the courts, right? Our families and our children are seeking us out, right? So they very much want to be a part of the program. The parent or the guardian wants to be an ally in the program, right? They're inviting you as a volunteer into your house, their house, and they want you to be part of the child's, you know, village. And so I think that's important for us to talk about too, because I think that's a misnomer anywhere I go when I talk about our program.
Okay.
Like, how are the kids coming?
Right.
They are calling us, it's right? So when we talk about that need, we're being called.
So it might be a family member call. It could be somebody from school.
Right. But ultimately, the person that they're living with, that's their guardian, whether that be a biological parent or otherwise, is an important part of what we're doing and is showing up and wants to be a part of what we're doing.
And the kid has to want to, too. It's voluntary, right? So if a kid refuses or they don't want to do it, we won't match them, right? Like, and that doesn't mean that they don't need the service, but it's a relationship. They have to be willing and want someone to be there for them so that it can work. If they're resistant, if they're hesitant, I mean, sometimes littles are like that, too, just because it's new for them. They don't know what it's like. So they might have different hesitations, or maybe they don't show up as, you know, super excited sometimes because they have that hesitation or their own feelings. But essentially, they have said yes, right? Yes, I'll try. Yes, I want to see what this is like. Yes, I want a big brother, a big sister. So there's no refusal, right? So someone on the other side saying, I want a relationship too, which is the best thing we can ask for, because we have all probably also had experiences where maybe you do want that with someone and they don't want that too, right? So this is like, at least you know you won't be rejected in that way if someone doesn't already want the same thing as you.
And just curious, have you seen littles who have they've enjoyed their experience and then maybe pass it along to friends and things along those lines who wanted to do it then too?
Yeah, I can't say that pass it along to a friend. I don't know if I've seen that. But before we walked in here today, our inquiry coordinator reached out and said, hey, we have a little who's 17 and they want to do our site-based program. Can they do it? So they're actively matched as a little, but now they want to be a big in one of our other programs. Of course they can.
Okay.
So those are good things to see, like, that they want to give back.
Yeah. And what we do know is the stories of being a big and, like, the experience are the best way to recruit. So we do see a fair amount of people, like, I know someone at work that's done it or something like that. And we, during the NFL draft, our national office runs what's called the big draft. So it's trying to encourage people that are connected to draft sort of the next generation of mentors, because Brittany actually was a big sister in her program. So she can speak to a little bit more the firsthand knowledge, but, you know, someone that's living the experience that has had such a great experience
is the best person, really, to recruit someone else to get involved.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll return to that conversation after we take another break. We'll come back with our final minutes here with Emily Mahoney and Brittany Washington with Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Erie, Niagara, and the Southern Tier. This is What's Next on WBFO.
Did you know that WNED PBS is always working on great new local shows for you to watch? Documentaries like Klein Hand's Gift to Buffalo, which tells the story of Buffalo's Music Hall.
The hall is very intimate, and that intimacy makes everyone who comes in here feel a part of our family.
Fun and educational series like Compact Science.
Believe it or not, peppers are technically fruits.
And Shakespeare's greatest hits featuring some of his best-known soliloquies and monologues.
We are such stuff as dreams are made of.
You can watch them all on our website at wned.org/local shows. While you're there, check out the show pages and mini websites for additional content such as bonus features, photo galleries, and lesson plans. Find it all at wned.org/local shows.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
Welcome back to What's Next on WBFO, talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Erie, Niagara, and the Southern Tier with their CEO, Emily Mahoney, and Brittany Washington, Director of Programs. And it's interesting, as these conversations go on, the things that get revealed here, and what we just heard before the break, is Brittany, before you became a Director of Programs, you were a big at Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
I was a big.
How did that come? How did you get involved in the first place?
I had ran mentoring programs before. I had been a mentor. Actually was a mentor, a comparison, say yes, to a high school student through college. I was a lot younger at that time, but she was great. She went through the same college program at Bus State that I went through.
Okay.
So we had a lot in common. And so I was at a different place in life. I had moved away from Buffalo. I had came back, and I wanted to do the same thing and give back to a little. And so they matched me with a little named Olivia. So I just reached out. I literally just went on the website and put an inquiry form in. I got a call back maybe in a day or two. I talked briefly to Elizabeth, who's still there and with me now. She's my right hand. And she basically walked through, asked me a couple questions. And then I did an interview in my home at the time. We do it a little different now. But it was, they get to know you. They ask you questions about what you're comfortable with. Seeing both sides now, I'm very comfortable. I understand what that feels like, though, that nervousness of what do they want to know, or am I going to be good enough? Which, again, I work with tons of kids, and I still feel that same way. So that's not a feeling that is just to people who maybe have never had that experience. They matched me with Olivia. I got to meet her family. And so her story was her and her family had moved to Buffalo post-pandemic.
Okay.
They had some things going on where they had to move. Just, you know, pandemic kind of wonked up a lot of people's lives. But she's actually adopted. So she's an African-American child growing up in a house with Caucasian parents.
Okay.
And they just wanted her to have a sense of belonging and some identity culturally. She has great parents. And so we got to hang out a little bit. And then the position came up for me to be able to apply to be the director. And I'm like, wow, I have this experience and I really would like to do it. I didn't think that I would have to not be her big anymore when I did it. But once I was hired, I did have to do that because conflict of interest. I oversee all the bigs, right? How do I regulate myself with something? Or how do we keep that child safe if I was an unsafe person? So for that reason, I had to end my match with her. But she is rematched and she does have a big now who's great. And they've had some relationship, some time to be in a relationship and forge a new bond. But it was great. I enjoyed being a big. I think, again, it gives you a lot of benefit, sense of belonging, purpose, you know.
That's what you got out of it.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it. I like kids. I like to see how their minds work. Mm-hmm. I think that we don't give them the platform enough to shine the way that we feel. I think we give adults too, because we just kind of give adults the benefit of the doubt that they've arrived at some place. And the kids, right. they have it, you know, mm-hmm. we have it. We all have it along the way. And I think we just, like you said, the idea of our mission is to ignite that, to make sure that they reach that fullest potential. So if I see this in you now, how do we hone in on that? So that when you are 40, this is like, this is nothing. This is, it was a skill, like, right. It went from maybe a talent or a niche to like a skill set.
And what about for Olivia? What did you see in her? Did you see anything?
Oh, yeah. Olivia's really gifted in sports. Like, so she's super athletic. She's quiet but mighty. She's a very quiet child, but when she speaks, she's really profound. She's really was already grounded in who she was, too. She had a good family and where she belonged now, but she didn't have that cultural connection or community that maybe some other, like myself, that I had, right? I was able to see myself and a lot of people who I grew up in my neighbors and things like that. And that experience was different for her, but that didn't change her confidence or her ability to be herself. And I think she had a good, again, she had parents who wanted that for her because they saw the other great things, right? We see this greatness in her and we want her to feel comfortable in all the parts of who she is. So yeah, she was wonderful. There was so much potential there. And I still get to see her. Mm-hmm. get to see her family when they come to events for ours. So it's nice to be able to see that she's still developing that way.
And just one more question, and if it's a little too personal, by all means, you can move on. But I'm curious, it sounds like a lot of the big little relationships, you know, you learn by just kind of watching, right? You're around somebody, you see how they interact. But for Olivia and you, did Olivia like kind of reach out? Like you said, you brought a certain cultural connection to her. Were there conversations about that for her?
I think we started to get there. I think we weren't together long enough to do that. And that's some of it too. Like when you think about the time that we're asking for that year commitment, if we would have made it a little bit further in that, I think we would have had more of that. We did talk about like simple things like our hair and getting it braided or where do we get it done? Which again, I think she felt comfortable asking those questions because she knew she could, right? Okay. She knew she could get an answer. So I think that those are things that we could have went further with if we would have had more time together. But just general conversations of things that she just would ask. Yeah, she did ask little things. But again, I think we could have had more time together to explore that more.
And allow me to pry a little bit for you, Emily Mahoney. You're the CEO now, but you started at Big Brothers Big Sisters, was it 16 years ago?
16 years in January.
16 years in January. So what's the organization been like? Tell me about how you entered into it and then just how it's grown for you and how the organization has changed.
It is a great question. So I actually went to school for political science and sociology. Mm. And so what always struck me when you're talking about political systems and things and, you know, how certain communities can sort of achieve great things, it was the investment in other people, right? The connections. And so I came back to Buffalo, as everyone always does, right? Buffalo brings you back. And I saw a posting for Big Brothers Big Sisters and I applied. And very quickly, early on, in seeing the big and the littles and seeing the impact that we've been speaking to, it was just like, yeah, this makes sense. Like this is, I think I mentioned this earlier, it's like community building at the very basic level, and it's our future generation. And so was a case manager for a few years, then I was the director of programs, had the opportunity, and they took a chance on me as an organization, right? You talk about the different people that play a role. I was the COO, so I was doing all our financial statements, hiring HR, all that type of things. And then for 2 years, I've sat in the CEO role. And so I've seen the evolution of the organization. I am the first female to run the organization. The core of what we do has always been the same. But we've definitely, I think, grown in terms of who we engage with, some of our diversity, partnerships, and things of that nature. There's so much potential for this organization in this community to grow. You know, Buffalo, Western New York's branded as the city of good neighbors. And so we just need people to raise their hand to be mentors. And I've you know, I feel very old when I'm out in the community because, you know, the littles that I met were when they were five turning six are now in nursing school. And, you know, the head of their student association.
She knows them. She'll be like, I know you or I know that name. Like she remembers them. So
I sometimes think creep people out a little bit. I'll be out in the community. I say, you're an alumni of Big Brothers Big Sisters. And they're like, how do you know that? But, you know, I've had the pleasure of building these wonderful connections and being part of these people's stories, you know, our families. Stories, being invited into their home, our volunteers that they donate their time. And it's such an honor. And it's truly made a great impact in my life and who I am and, you know, my sense of the world. And, you know, I'm very, very honored to be a part of this mission.
We are, believe it or not, down to our final minute here. And I think I'm going to put this off to Brittany for this final question. It's actually the initial question. The reason why you guys are here in the first place, the need for mentors overall, need for Bigs overall, but a real specific need right now for your kids in waiting.
We need people who care about community. Mm-hmm. If you care about community, if you care about what the next generation looks like, what it feels like, you know, in our neighborhoods, in our country, I think just call us and speak to us because that is impactful. We definitely need males. That is a heavy weight list for our kids. Our kids are waiting a long time for meals. But regardless of, there's a ton of kids who just need someone who is compassionate and just cares. And if we could have you join us, you know, and we need volunteers, but if volunteering is not your jam or you don't have that time, talk to us about how you can donate. Talk to us about how you can donate your time in other ways. There's so much that we do and our mission is so impactful that we just really want to spread the word and support our community.
Brittany Washington and Emily Mahoney, Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Erie, Niagara, and Southern Tier. Thanks for joining us on What's Next.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
This has been What's Next on WBFO.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members. And from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.